We're starting here on the top of Lamed Havav and Aleph, the second line, it says, Yibailuhu. I had a question with regards to the testimony they do when it comes to Bechor. Eid mi pe'eid, ma'u the Eidut Bechor. Does Eid mi pe'eid work in Eidut Bechor? We know that in situations of Eid mi pe'eid in regular Eidut, that doesn't work. Whereas over here, maybe we have lesser threshold for Eidut, like we have in some other places. So what is the Eidut here that we have before? It's a full-fledged Eidut that will require real Eidim with all the parameters of real Eidim. Or can we have an Eid mi pe'eid hearsay by Bechor? Rav Asi Asar, Rav Ashi Shari. Rav Asi was, or Rav Ami said no, you can't use Eid mi pe'eid. Rav Ashi said you could. So I'm going to say Rav Asi, the Rav Ashi, or obviously it was Rav Ami, the Rav Ashi. Don't we have a statement in the Tanaim? Ein eid mi pe'eid kasher, ela le'edut ha'isha bilvad. The only place it works is the eidut isha. This is by Naguna, her husband's lost, that we trust that one eid is enough to marry her off. Even though, in general, one eid is not neman, and eid mi pe'eid is not neman. Over here, we did allow it by the isha, hachamim hekilu, because of Aguna. So tnei, ela le'edut she'aisha kasher ala bilvad. That Eid mi pe'eid works in the same places that the Eidut of an Isha works. Not for an Eidut Isha, but rather, that's the qualification. If an Isha can testify, then also an Eid mi pe'eid. If we lower the threshold of the parameters of Eidut to allow a woman to testify, then we also will not require that it not be Eid mi pe'eid. So over here, we'll say the same thing, that an Isha is Ksheira. We saw that before in Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion, that B'nai Beito are ksheirim to testify about the Bechor, and we paskind like Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel. So too over here, if the Isha is ksheira, so too the Eid mi pe'eid will be kasher. Rabbi Yemar, achsher Eid mi pe'eid, be Bechor. Rabbi Yemar, like Rav Ashi, was makshir, said it's okay for to use Eid mi pe'eid. Karele Mireimar said about Rav Yemar that he was Yemar Shari Bukhra. That wasn't a compliment. He was the cooler man. Yemar, the cooler man by Bechorot, because he was willing to be Mekyo and accept Eid mi pe'eid. The Hilchata and the Loch is Eid mi pe'eid, kasher le'edut Bechor. Like we said before, that the Loch is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that Beno Bito are Ksherim, and Isha would be Kshera. So too over here, Eid mi pe'eid is kasher. Amar Rabbi Lo. Lo ayu muksakim bo shu bechor. Uba echad v'amar shu bechor umumo imo ne'eman. We didn't know that this animal was a bechor. Someone comes along and says, this animal is a bechor. But yeah, we don't know anything, any information about the animal, so we would assume it's not a bechor. But then this person comes along and says, listen, this is a bechor, but there's a mum in it already. There's a mum kavua ne'eman. Obviously, we're speaking about a Kohen here. With the Yisrael, it wouldn't be the issue. The issue is when a Kohen was generally nechshad on the Bechor and putting Mumim into a Bechor. Over here, he's the one who comes and tells us it is a Bechor, but he tells us that the Mum is already in there. So we have a principle, which is Peshe Asar, Peshe Hiter. The one who told us that it's a Bechor, made it a Asur, is the same one who's telling us that there's a Mum in it. He has a Ne'emanut. He could have said nothing. Could have said nothing, and then there wouldn't have been any issue here. The fact that he goes ahead and says something, and then says it's Mutar, we're going to believe him. So it says, Maika Mashmalan, what are you telling us? Apesha Asur, Apesha Hitir. You're telling us this principle that the pad that was Oser is the pad Shehitir, Tanina. That's an explicit Mishnah in Ketubot. Aisha Shamra, a woman shows up here who we otherwise would have thought is a Pnuya. And she says, Isha Deisha Yiti Ugrusha Ani. She says, I was once married, but now I'm divorced. Ne'emenet. She's believed, Shepesha Asar, who Apesha Hitir. She's the one who told us that she was married. So if we believe her that she was married, we can also believe her that she was divorced. Because she had told us nothing, we would assume that she was a Pnuya. Ma'udetema. What would I have thought? Hotam hu di'ibai lo amra. Over there, she could have said nothing. She could have just opted to say nothing, and we would have classified her as a pnuya. She could have gotten married. There wouldn't have been any issue. Avahocha lo sagya de lo amra. Over here, maybe the Kohen can't be silent. De kachim b'chutz lo achil. He wouldn't be willing to eat kachim b'chutz. A b'chor that does not have a mum in it, a b'chor ta'am, is ra'oi l'mizbeach. And if it's not mukrav in the mizbeach, and you eat it outside of Yerushalayim, outside of the mikdash, if it's not done properly as hekdesh, then is that you're eating kochim b'chutz chiyuv karet. So Kohen, he might be willing to put a mum in there, which is an iser lav. What he's not willing to do is eat a bechor that is a tam and be chayim karet for kodshim b'chutz. Right, so now, ema lo apesh asar hu. Let us say that it's not a pesh asar here because he has to get this mum approved. He won't do it without having this mum approved. So the kamashvan is, dim shum hachi, have a shode be muman de nikar va'ochile. Exactly what you're saying, David, that he has the option. He can put in a mum in it that's so obvious that that mum is a mum, he doesn't even have to ask about it. We're going to see later in today's daf whether you do have to ask or don't have to ask about it. But here, the assumption being that he'll say, listen, I know for sure that this is no longer roi the mizbeach. So therefore, I've gotten rid of the chiyuv karet. Once I'm getting rid of the chiyuv karet, I don't really worry about it. I put a mum in it, not a big deal. So therefore, we still say it's a pesha us or pesha hitir because he still has that ability to put it into a situation where there's no chiyuv karet. So he will not be afraid of eating this animal, and therefore we grant him the pesha asu pesha hitir. Matifla marba ravashi. Maishna, mihau gavra, the ogur le chamra le chavre. How is this different than the case of a person who rented a chamor from his friend? Speaking about the balim who rented out their chamor to someone, barmalay, lo tezel ba'orcha de nar pakud. You have two options in which way to travel. He goes, don't go on the road that leads to nar pakud. Deikamaya, because over there there's water. Zil ba'orcha de narsh. Go on the direction of Narsh, on the other road, Delekamai, because there's no water there. Person ignored him. And also, Baruchad Neropogud Umit. He went on the road that led to Neropogud, and the animal dies, Mit Chamro. Vato, but he comes back, Vamalai, Baruchad Neropogud Azle. I did go on the road that you told me not to. Miu Mayalo Havu. But there was no water there. So I want to be Patur, because I went on Neropogud. You were afraid of the water on Neropogud. I'm telling you, there was no water in Neropogud. So yes, it died, but it didn't die because I did anything that you didn't want me to do. I took it over in Nar Pakud, but it was dry. Over there we say, Va'amar Rava, Tosfot changes the gears and says it should be Va'amar Rabba. So Va'amar Rabba, Malolo Shaker. What is he worth lying? Ibai Amar de Urcha de Narsh Azle. He could just come back and said, I took the way over the Narsh River, over to the dry riverbed, and it died. Had he said that, he'd be Patur. What's the benefit in him telling us that he went to the Nar Pakud and there was no water? So Malo Leshaker, he doesn't need to lie over here. If he really wanted to lie, he had a much better lie, which is like the Migo. He could have just said, I went the way you told me and it died. The fact that he tells the truth and says that he went the way I didn't want you to, but there was no water, we should believe him. Amar Abayi. Abayi says, back to his Rebbe, Rabo, Malo Leshaker, but Makumeidim lo Amrinan. We don't say Malo Leshaker when there are Edim against the Migo. So here, what are the Edim against the Migo? There are no Edim here. Edim doesn't literally mean they have to be actual witnesses, but even if we say Anansade, we know for sure. And over here, as Rashi points out, we know for sure there's water in Nar Pakud. Nar Pakud never stops running. So it's saying that I went to the banyas and there was no water. Everybody knows there's water there all the time. It's not a question of whether there's water there. There is water there. How much water? We don't know. It's higher or lower, but there's always water. So to say there's no water there, we don't believe you because it's just not a plausible outcome. That's an anansade. We don't say malo leshaker, but makom edim. We know for sure there's water there. So then, how can we believe him over here? But it says, when you have edim there, there's no migo because we don't believe him because we can disprove part of his statement already. And therefore, we know he's lying. So the Gemara says, why don't we say the same thing over here? That's the question of the Gemara. Why don't we say the same thing by Bechor? Bechor, you could say, we know.
We're not sure that he's lying.
Anansade, that a Kohen is Chashud to put a mum in the Bechor.
Chashud doesn't mean for sure that he's lying.
Very good. So that's exactly what the Gemara's question. The same answer that we gave yesterday at the end of the Daf, Gemara's going to say here. Right now, he's making the leap that the Kohen is definitely going to put a mum in here because he's Chashud to put a mum in. So that's a Malul Shaker, but an Anansade. It's the exact same case as the water. We know there's water in our Pakut, so I can say Malul Shaker. Here we know that a Kohen will put a mum into a Bechor, so therefore it should be a Malul Shaker, Makom Edim. So the Gemara answer is, Hachi Ashto. Hatam Vata Yika Mayo. Over there by Nar Pakut, we know for sure there is water. Hatam Vadai Shadi Be Muma. You know for certain that the Kohen's gonna put a mum in Choshoshoho. That's a chashash. Umakom, chashash, amrinim, malo de shaker. In a place of chashash, we will say malo shaker. Exactly what you said, David. That the answer here is that the Kohen doesn't for certain put a mum in there. He's not chashud in the sense that we know he will put a mum in here. It's a chashash. We suspect him of putting in a mum here. But we don't know for certain that he put him in. We don't have an anansade that he put a mum in here. That's not an absolute certain. And therefore, we can't say that this is a malo shakir b'makom edim. Supposed to where the water, we know for certain there's water. There is no chance that there isn't water there. That's a malo shakir b'makom edim. Over here, we're just suspicious, or we suspect the fact that he put a mum in there. But it's not definite. So that's not a malo shakir b'makom edim. Yati bravina b'kamer lahai shmaitata b'lo gavro. He said over this memra, it's the memra of Rabbi Yilah that we started with, that a pesha asu pesha hitir, if he comes along and tells us it's a bakhor and it's a mum. So therefore, he said this over without quoting who it was from. So I'm like, Rava, zuti la ravina, anan mishmeid Rabbi Yilah, matzaninanla. What you're saying, we know it in the name of Rabbi Yilah. So I don't know if he was just saying it just to give him the information. He was criticizing him. He said, you should have known that that was the name of Rabbi Yilah. It's unclear what Rav Zutti was telling Ravina, whether he was just giving him information or whether he was criticizing him. Rabbi Tzadok, Havilei Bukhra. This is a famous story because there are three stories like this in Shas. One of them is here. One of them that you're probably familiar with is the Gemara in Brachot. And there's also the story in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, which is the altercations between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. So this is one of those cases. We have here a case where Rav Tzadok Havilei Bukhra, Tzadok had a Bukhor, Ramalei Sarei Besale. He put in barley into a basket, but it was a Salei, probably Nitzarim, or Nitzarei, it's a wicker basket, that Kailei Aruba Arba Klupa, was made out of peeled willow twigs. They were braided out of peeled willow twigs. Bahadid Ka'achil, when it was eating, Ivza Siftei, it ripped its lip on the basket. Now, whether it actually ate the basket or the basket, the willow twigs were sharp, and therefore it cut its lip on it. Ata the kamed Rabbi Yoshua. Comes before Rabbi Yoshua, Merlei. Klum chilaknu ben chaver la'ma'aretz. In this issue of chashash, that a kohen is chashud, to place a mum in an animal, do we differentiate between a chaver and an ama'aretz? I am a chaver. I'm generally ne'man. Rabbi Tzadok, as a kohen, says, am I ne'man here? Am I suspected of putting a mum in here? This is totally an accident. I didn't do anything on purpose. Do you believe me? Or do I get the same classification as an Amaretz where we are choshed al kohanim? Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, hey, yes, we do. We are mechaleik. You are ne'man here that you didn't do this intentionally. And therefore, we will believe that this mum happened by accident. Ata the kamei de Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, he came before Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei. Klum chilaknu ben chaver da Amaretz. He asked the same shaila to Rabbi Gamliel, Amalei. Rabbi Gamliel, lo, no. You have the same status as an Amaretz, lo plug. We do not differentiate over here. Amalei, b'ha Rabbi Yeshua amar li hein. But Rabbi Yeshua told me that I could do this. So how come you're saying no? Amalo, hemtein ad she'elu balei trisim lebeit midrash. Wait till the Talmidei Chachamim come to the Beit Midrash. Balei trisim merely, literally means those with the shields. The shields being here because they are b'mechumta she Torah. Those that come to battle in Torah, wait for them to show up. Once they came in, Amada Shuel Bisha'al. The Shuel stood up and asked, Klum chilaknu ben chaver la'amaretz? Do we differentiate between a chaver and amaretz? Exact question that we're asking over here when it comes to mumim, the chashad of kohanim. Do we differentiate between a chaver and an amaretz? Now, interesting. Tosfot says here about Amada Shuel Bisha'al, the Shuel halachot v'gadot tzirich la'amot. And he says that we learn from here that a person who's asking a question on halacha or asks a question of agada stands up. That's part of the protocol for asking questions, and therefore you had to stand up. So he asked the question. Amarlei, Rabbi Yeshua laugh. No, we don't differentiate. Obviously different than the answer that he had given to Rabbi Tzadok. Amarlei, Rabbi Gamliel, halo mishmecha, amruli hein. Didn't I hear over in your name that you actually said that we do differentiate? How come you're saying that we don't over here? Says Yeshua, amoda raglecha. Stand up on your feet, ve'yudu b'cha, and then they will testify against you. I don't know if that really belongs here in the skirs of ve'yudu b'cha, but he says, stand up. Amar Rav Yeshua raglav amar, heich ese. He says, what can I say? What can I do? Il male ani chai ve'hu meit. If I was alive and he was dead, yechol achai lachish et hameit. I could disagree with the other person. I could tell you something that's not true, because someone's dead can't contradict me. Chav shani chai ve'hu chai. I'm alive and he's alive. How can someone's alive contradict someone else is alive? You can come along and say, yes, that's what you did say. We know that you did say it, so I really can't hide from you. I have no defense. I did say yes in the past. So Rabbi Gamliel continued to be Doresh. Rabbi Yeshua Omed al Raglav. Rabbi Yeshua was standing on his feet, meaning that he wasn't given the privilege of the other students to sit down. Ad Shirinenu Kolam, until the people around him had enough. They were upset about what was transpiring. They said to Chutzbit and Meturgaman, Amod here means stop, be quiet, shtok, v'shatak, and he stopped. And that the people rebelled against what Rabbi Gamliel was doing to Rabbi Yeshua, and they told the Meturgaman, we no longer want to hear the Torah of Rabbi Gamliel because he's treating Rabbi Yeshua inappropriately. We have the same story, this almost identical story to one of Gemarachot, that means to do with whether Ma'ariv, Tevilat Arvit is Rishut, or Tevilat Arvit is Chovah, same thing, and the same story in the ending. And then the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is about what day was the Kviyat HaChodesh. And Rabbi Gamliel made Rabbi Yeshua come over to him on his Yom HaKippurim. What Rabbi Yeshua thought was Yom Kippur, Rabbi Gamliel made him come over to him. And then the people said, it's enough is enough. How many times is Rabbi Gamliel going to do this to Rabbi Yeshua? 3 times already that he's done this to Rabbi Yeshua. And they depose Rabbi Gamliel and they replace him with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is one of those 3 stories the Gemara is speaking about where you have this altercation between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua. The question is, what's the halacha? There was a Tosfot in yesterday's that discussed it, and again today he mentions this. He says, V'halacha kein hu, tein chiluk ben chaver la'amaretz. Tosfot says that is the halacha. The halacha is that we do not differentiate between chaver and amaretz. Now Rashi says over here, when Rabbi Yehoshua says that I can't contradict someone who's alive. He says, you're right. I did say there was a difference. And then he says, v'chuzar mibi. And I retracted my position. So Rashi claims that Rabbi Yeshua changed his mind. And then in the end, he did agree with Rabbi Gamliel. And then he thought Rabbi Gamliel was right. Tosfot over here says that the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel. But Rashi says the reason it's like Rabbi Gamliel is because Rabbi Yeshua reversed his position. Tosfot later on says that he doesn't think that's pshat. Says that in the Gemara and Brachot, the problem is, the exact same layout. It's the same format, same Gemara. And over there, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehoshua. We pass them like Rabbi Yehoshua in the Gemara in Tefillat HaShachar. So how could you say here that when Rabbi Yehoshua says that I can't contradict that someone's alive, that means that he reversed his position? Because in Tefillat HaShachar, we know that he didn't reverse his position, and we pass him like him in Tefillat HaShachar. If you have the same Gemara, how can you say one place he was Choser, one place he's not Choser? Therefore, Tosfot says that that's definitely not the Pshat over there, and makes it likely that that's not the Pshat over here either. That Rabbi Yeshua reversed his position. Happens to be the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, but that doesn't mean that over here Rabbi Yeshua necessarily reversed his position. You have here a machloket Rashi and Tosafot as to whether Rabbi Yeshua actually acquiesced to Rabbi Gamliel's position in the end. And just Chutzvit Meturguman, we know him from Asara Harugei Malchut. Tosafot points out that we say in Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, he's one of the Asara Harugei Malchut. The Mishnah, Neman HaKohen Lomar, Hereiti B'chor Zeh U'Bal Mum Hu. Kohen is believed to say, I showed this to a Chacham, and he paskin that it was a mum. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Neman HaKohen Lomar B'chor Zeh Natan Li Yisrael B'Mumo. He's believed to say that this B'chor was given to me by Yisrael, and it had a mum in it when the Yisrael gave it to me. My time, Komilta David Eli Gluye Lo Mishakri Be'Yinshe. Anything that can be verified, people don't lie about. People lie about things that you can't necessarily verify, or they think you can't verify. Over here, it's very easy to verify whether he's lying or not. You just go back to the person and gave it to him and say, was there a mum in it? So since you can verify this, he will not lie. Amar Rav Ashi Afanan Nami Tanina. He says, Rav Yehuda Marav, I can bring support to you for your position based on our Mishnah. Neman HaKohen Lomar Hereiti B'chor Zeh U'Bal Mumo. My time, what's the reason that he's believed in our Mishnah? Lav Mishum Darminan Kol Milto Davidi Leglui Lomi Shakur Ve'Inche. It's the same thing over here. He says that the Chacham was matir this for me. You know what you do? You go back to the Chacham and you ask him. So it's something that can be verified. Mara says, no, they're not necessarily equivalent. Hatamu D'Kodshim B'chutz Lo Achil. Over here, by our Mishnah, he has a reason to say tell the truth. The reason that he has to tell the truth is that he won't eat kodshim b'chutz. Aval hacha kevin dechashidei chashidei. That over here, when we have him saying it, that he got it from the Yisrael and had a mum in it, he's still chashud to put a mum in it. He can't overcome that chashad. So if we drop the reason being that it has to do with verification, we would say where there is verification, we don't allow it. We could differentiate between our Mishnah and the case of Rabbi Yehuda Marav. By the Mishnah, we will believe the Kohen, because over there he's not willing to eat Kodshim B'chutz, and he won't lie about the fact that the Chacham was Matirit. On the other hand, by our case of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, where he says that the Yisrael gave it to me and had a mum in it, there he will lie, because he's Chashut to put the mum in himself. He put the mum in himself, and now he's not Kodshim B'chutz anymore, and he doesn't worry about the fact that he's lying a little bit about the mum. Gemara says, I don't necessarily agree that our Mishnah is a proof to the statement of Yehuda Rav, because you could say, or you could at least posit, that the reason of our Mishnah is not about Milton Avide de Gluye Lo B'Shak V'Inche. The reason of our Mishnah might be something different. That the Kohen is not willing to eat Kodshim B'chutz. So therefore, he won't lie about the fact that there's actually a mum in this animal. The chacham wasn't matir this animal, and it has a mum in it, then he's safek karet, that he's eating this animal b'chutz. That he's not willing to lie about. Because they're over there, he's showing us the mum. He's showing us the mum and saying, is this a good enough mum to the chacham? The chacham says, yes, but you're choshed to put the mum in. He says, no, I got it this way from the Yisrael. So in one case, he's telling us the psak halacha. He's telling us that definitively, this is a b'chor b'al mum. In the other case, he's bringing us a mum and saying that he didn't do it. So in the case of the Mishnah, we say that's a suffik in karet. He wouldn't be willing to lie about that. But here in our case, he's bringing it to the chacham and saying that the Israel did it. That he will be willing to lie about. Meiti Rav Shizvi, Omer the Mish ein ne'eman, al maser kachli mimishu ne'eman. Person says to someone who is not believed to take off maser. He's an ama aretz, someone that doesn't take my srot off. But he says, go purchase for me vegetables, food, fruits, that already had maser removed from it, meaning buy it from someone that is ne'eman. Oh, shmimishu maser, or from someone who takes off maser, enu ne'eman, is not believed. Meaning the shliach, agent that he sends to do it, is not believed. Am I? Why not? Ne'ema kol milta davide glue, lo mishakur beyinche. Why don't we apply the same principle that you're suggesting over here in their amirut amarav, that anything that can be verified, people don't lie about. So over here too, he says he went and bought maaser from a person that was ne'eman, and he brings it back to you. Why can't we say that he's believed? Because we can check out the information. We can go verify the information that he's bringing us. Where it says, shiny autumn. That case of maaser is different. The itle lishtimute. He has a way out. He has a way to be slippery over here. I mean that if he says to you, I bought it from someone's ne'eman, and then you go and check it out, he could say, well, he was ne'eman to me. He may not be ne'eman to you, but he's ne'eman to me. He has a way of getting out of this. And since he has a way of getting out of it, we have no real way of verifying what he's saying. Because even if you go and verify and you find out it wasn't right, I thought he was ne'eman. You might not think he's ne'eman, but he's ne'eman to me. Once he can do that, it breaks down this whole idea that he'll be caught in his lie. Because he doesn't think he's lying about it, or he can wiggle his way out of the lie. He says, v'seifa v'adam esayle. The seifa of that will help us out. He says, I bought it me'ish ploni. Since he identified the particular person, and we know that the person who asked him to do it said, please get it from this person particularly, then the agent is believed. So over here, we would suggest that the reason is, kol milta davude gluye, a person will not lie about. I would have thought you could have proved it from this case of agency. Mishponir is an eman. That sounds like anything that you can verify is good. Mara says, no, that case is different. Hatan came to itle toveya mirta. Since he identified the particular person, and we know that the person who asked him to do it said, please get it from this person particularly, then he's mirta, he's afraid, because there's an easy verification over here. He'll go to the person that he told him, and he'll say, did you sell it to him? Did you give it to him? And the answer will be done right away. So therefore, there's an additional aspect of fear here for the agent, and that's why he does it. But our case of Bechor, that's not the case. What's going to happen here? He comes to the Chacham, he says, listen, I got this Bechor from Yisrael, and the Yisrael put a mum in it. Do we think that this Chacham is going to go out, try to find the Yisrael, and ask him whether there really was a mum in it or not? That seems far-fetched. That's a far-fetched case. Since it's a far-fetched case, may not be the case of Mirtat. He may not be fearful of lying over here. So that's what the Gemara says in the end. You can't prove anything from here. What we're trying to show over here is that the reason behind our Mishnah, the reason behind what we're saying by Maser, is an issue of Komilta David Glui Lo Mishakriinje, that something that can be verified people don't lie about. So we rejected it from our Mishnah. We said our Mishnah is an unusual case. Mishnah is a case of there's a Chiyuv Karet on the other side, so it's not worth lying for him. Said by Maser, the first case, we said why he's not believed. Then we said in the second case, he is believed. That sounds like it is a proof to this, that if you can verify it, he's believed. Maser says that case by Maser is also different, because there's Mirtat. He specified the person that he wants you to buy it from. And when he specifies the person he wants you to buy it from, he can check. It's easy for him to check. Maybe he's in touch with them all the time. There he's afraid to lie. In our case, by the Chacham, he comes in and says, yeah, Yisrael, Mr. Rogers gave it to me, and it has a mum in it. Is the Chacham going to go out there and try to find this individual and ask him? It's not somebody that the Chacham necessarily has direct contact with all the time, or he knows who it is. So therefore, over there, maybe we'll not say he's believed, because they don't have this aspect of Mirtat. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Mana Lei Yehuda Ha. Says, where did Rabbi Yehuda get this statement from? Now, Rabbi Yehuda is going back to the original statement, which is Amar Yehuda Marav. That's the statement of Rav Yehuda. So along comes Rabbi Yehuda Abba and says, where did Rabbi Yehuda have this from? Ha'ana b'gidul kavatei v'gidul kavabididei. The two girsot, or two ways to read this. Rashi brings down, I told it over to a gavra rabba, and a gavra rabba told it to him. So Rabbi Yehuda Abba says, I'm the author of this memra, and I told it over to someone, and someone told it to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it's hard to understand this, because Rabbi Yehuda quotes in the name of Rav. So I don't know what Rabbi Yehuda Abba is suggesting, that he said it to Rav, and then Rav said it to Rabbi Yehuda. That seems very unlikely. But Rabbi Yirmi Abba says, I told this to a great person, and then Rabbi Yehuda learned it from him. Or the other one is Gidul's name of a Chacham. He says, I told it over to Gidul, and Gidul told it over to Rabbi Yehuda. V'hocha amarle. And this is what I said. Rabbi Yirmi is saying, this is what I said. Ne'eman Yisrael lomar borzen atati l'kohen b'mumo. The Yisrael is believed to say, I gave this to the Kohen with a mum in it. So that's a very different statement. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Marab says the Kohen is believed to say he got it from Yisrael with a mum. Over here, Rabbi Yirmi is saying, no. The Yisrael can say, I gave it to the Kohen with a mum in it. It says, Yisrael, pshita. Yisrael, of course, he's believed. Why would Yisrael lie over here? He has no benefit in lying. Lo tzorich b'katan v'higdil. It's a case where, I would have read the Gemara, is that the Yisrael was a katan and then grew up later. But that's not what it is. It's talking about the animal itself. The animal itself was a young animal, v'higdil, and afterwards it grew up. So ma'ad tema lo kimle. I would have thought maybe the Yisrael now can't identify the animal, and therefore he can't remember that this is the animal that he gave to the Kohen. Kamash mulan, that he does remember, and therefore he's believed over here because he's Yisrael. And the Yisrael, who can identify the animal and say, yeah, this is the one I gave to the Kohen, and this is his amum, he's neman, because Yisrael has no reason to lie. Besura matna kalishna batro. In Surah, they brought down the Lashon based on what Rav Yirmi Abba Abba said, meaning that the Yisrael is Neman. But Pumpadita Kalishna Kama. In Pumpadita, they said it over like the way Rav Yehuda Marav said it, which was the Kohen is believed. The Hilchata Afilu Kalishna Kama. The Locha is like the Lishna Kama, meaning that a Kohen is believed to say that he got it from a Yisrael with a mum. Rafram be Pumpadita Havale Bukhra. Rafram was in Pumpadita, there was a Bukhra, the Havale the Kohen. He gave it to a Kohen. Rav Ram was a Chacham. He was a Mumche that was seeing Mumim. And he gave it to a Kohen. Below Muma. There was no Mum in it. He gave it clean to the Kohen. Azal Shadabe Muma. The Kohen went and put a Mum into the animal. Yom Achad. It was a day where Raphram's eyes were hurting him. He didn't feel well. Whether he didn't feel well, his eyes were hurting him, whatever it was. His vision was somewhat compromised. Aite the Kamei. This Kohen brought the Bechor in front of Raphram. Meloah Bechor Zeh Natan Yisrael Bimumo. Said, I received this Bechor and had a mum in it. Ar Pesine Le'ene Chazia B'Shikre. Rashi says here that he forced himself to open up his eyes. Pushed himself to open up the eyes to see what was here. And he realized that this guy's lying. He realized that this was his animal, Raphram. Tosa says he didn't literally open up his eyes. Chazia B'Shikre means he understood. Hikir. He understood that he was lying. Not that he literally opened up his eyes, but he got a sense that this guy was lying. Amale lav anad yehavite lecha. Wasn't I the one who gave you this animal? And even so, this guy didn't worry about bringing it back before Raphram. So we see how much a Kohen is willing to lie. Not only willing to lie, he was willing to lie to Raphram, who's the one who gave him the animal, and say that he put a mum in it. Now Raphram, before, we said, he was in Pumpadita. And Pumpadita, they said like Lishna Kama, and they pass an aloha like a Meruda and Rav that a Kohen's believed. Over here, this is a story that undermines that. It sounds like a Kohen's not believed to say that Israel put a mum in it. Here we have a Kohen lying to the Israel himself, to Raphram himself, who gave him the animal. Mar says, Hayu Dechotzif. Raphram says, I still think the aloha is this way, because this guy's a super mechutzav. Kula Ama Lo Chatzife. Nobody's that mechutzav. Over here, this guy's a double mechutzav. Not only is he willing to put a mum into a Bechor, but then he brings the Bechor back to Raphram, the one who gave him the Bechor, and says, oh, I got it from Israel with a mum in it. This guy's an all-out liar. So therefore, we don't have evidence about other Kohanim. Most Kohanim are not going to do something so far-fetched, and therefore they are Neman when they say that Yisrael put a mum in it. Next case. Hao Sarua, the Ata the Kame de Ravashi. There's a Sarua. Sarua is a Bechor that has one big eye and one small eye. It was brought before Ravashi. What should we worry about here? He doesn't know if this guy's a Kohen or Yisrael. Why do we care whether it's a Kohen Yisrael? You brought me a Bechor, which is a congenital mum. Doesn't matter if he's a Kohen Yisrael. Who cares if he's Neman? It has nothing to do with this individual. The Bechor has a mum in it, and it's a mum that nobody else could create. Let's worry about the fact that he's not a Kohen. We don't see the Bechor. We don't look at a Bechor to determine if something's a mum If he's a Yisrael, unless the Kohen is with him. Because we're afraid, if you paskin that it is a mum, that the Yisrael will keep it for himself and eat it himself, because then it's chulin. So we don't paskin for Yisrael unless there's a Kohen standing there. How can you compare the cases? Over there, the case of Rabbi Yehuda, the reason that we don't paskin for Yisrael is because he's not willing to eat kochim bachutz. Therefore, he brings it to the chacham to get a psak halacha. But once he gets the psak halacha, a mamone the kohen chashid, that he will steal. Once he knows it's not kochim bachutz, there's no chiyuv karet, he'll take the animal, it's chulin, he'll eat it for himself. That's why we don't allow you to paskin for Yisrael when there's no kohen here. Chacha, over here, michte yodo dahay mum muvaku. Over here, the guy knows that there's a mum in it. It's a big eye and a small eye. It's a easy mum for anybody to know. He didn't have to come to me to get a psak halacha over here. If he wanted to eat this b'chor b'mumo, he doesn't need me. He knows how to do that. My time atu akamei rabbanon. Why did he bring it in front of me? Why did he bring it to the rab to look at? Mishum kvodo de chacham. Because he wanted to give kavod to the chacham. Al kvodo de chacham lo avar isura avid. This person is respectful of chachamim. To bring in the b'chor for me to look at it, even though he could have paskin for himself, he would have known for sure that this mum was a full-fledged mum, and he could have eaten it if he wanted to steal and take it from the kohen, because he knows this is not kochim b'chutz over here. He knows that this is a b'chor ma'amum. He could have kept it for himself and stolen from the kohen. The fact that he brings it to me already shows that he has a certain amount of kvod chachamim. If he has a kvod chachamim, we're not going to worry about him stealing from the kohen anymore. It doesn't make sense. This makes sense. The person is going to give kvod chachamim and then steal the animal. So therefore, he is neman over here. I don't really care who it is, whether it's Yisrael or kohen. This person's neman, and I'll paskin for him that this is a full-fledged mum. If he's a kohen, he can eat it. If he's Yisrael, we're assuming that he will give it to the kohen. Now, from this story, it sounds like you do not have to bring the bechor to the chacham in order to get a psak on the baal mum. Because over here, Rav Ashi suggests that this person could have paskin for himself that there was a mum. It was a sarua. He knew for sure he could have checked it for himself. He didn't need to bring it in front of the chacham. Tosfot, on the other hand, says, afal pi that that's the case, psak, the aloch is, aval pshita, de blo atara, eno nishchat. Without atara, you can't check that. Afil yishbo, mum muvhak. Even if it has in it a full-fledged mum that you know for sure is a mum, you still have to bring it before a mumche, or to, we'll see in a second, in front of a gimel, in front of three people. Vodo the chacham doesn't mean that otherwise he doesn't need to bring it here. No, you do have to bring it to the chacham. But the point being is that if this person is a deceptive person, this person wants to lie, he knows he's out of kochim b'chutz. He knows he's not having a chiyuv karet anymore because he knows for sure this is a mum. He brought it before me in order to give kavod to the chacham. Not that it's, he doesn't have to bring it to the chacham. He does. If you want to go by the protocol, if you want to go by the normative halacha, he would have to bring it to the chacham. But the fact is that maybe we're choshesh, this person is a deceiving person, that he's a thief, that he's going to take this from the kohen. That we're not going to say, because he brought it to the chacham, which he didn't need to do in terms of someone who's a liar. But in terms of normative halacha, you do have to bring it to the chacham in order to get a hatara, even though you know for sure that it is a mum. Okay, next Mishnah. Hakol ne'emanim al mumei maser. Everybody is believed when it comes to a mum in a maser. My time, huh? What's the reason? To eat boy shadebe mum amikara. He could have put a mum in there in the beginning. He doesn't have to do it after it's maser. He can do it in the beginning. Where it says, miyado hai nofik. He doesn't know which one's going to come out of the corral. Puts a mum in one of them. He doesn't know that's going to be the 10th one. If you say that he walks that out, he makes sure that that one's the 10th one coming out. Pasuk says, you're not allowed to walk the animals out. Maser is the animals have to come out by themselves. You walk them out, they're not maser. So over here, how could he be certain that he's getting the maser that he put the mum in? L.O.D. Boy, you should have been mum of a kuli edre. Something we've seen a number of times during the Gemara, that he could have put mumim in all of his animals, and then had let them walk out. No matter what, the master that came out would have had a mum in it, and he could have taken care of the problem. Since he has a way of taking care of the problem of a heter, we don't assume that he does it be'isur. Again, I pointed out a number of times that this migo is not typical, because you would have to have done this beforehand. It's not a migo that I could have taken this option, and instead I did this option. It's something that he would have to have done beforehand. Before it became master, he could have taken action. Therefore, we believe him after it is maser. Rashi says that this Mishnah is talking about a suffek maser. Not sure why you have to say that it's a suffek maser. Even by a maser vadai, bizman hazeh, you still need a mum in it to do something with it. Not sure why Rashi went in that direction to suggest that it had to be a case of suffek maser, but that's how he reads the Mishnah. All right, next Mishnah. B'chor shenismeteino, shenikta ayado, that its eye was blinded, its foreleg was cut off, or nishbara raglo, its hind leg was broken. could check that based on three people in the B'nai Knesset. I mean, these aren't Chachamim necessarily. These are based on three people. Based in. Even if there's 23 people there, you can't shecht it, you need a mumcha. You need a mumcha lebechorot in order to shecht on a mum. We know there's smicha for matir bechorot. We know that from the Gemara and Sanhedrin. And therefore, you need that smicha. You need a mumcha to do that. Now, Tosvot over here says that when we talk about a mumcha over here, it's not a mumcha like I'm saying. It's not a mumcha that has smicha. Because it says, lav davka mumcha shemichua beitin. This is not just about a mumcha that got smicha from beitin. Because we just saw a story, he says before, with Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi doesn't have smicha. He didn't have smicha to be matir b'chorot. Yet they brought before Rav Ashi b'chorot to look at. So he said that it's not a din in smicha, ela achola muflag b'chochma mumcha ra'ul haitir b'chorot. The neder b'yichidi. That this din of mumcha here is not literally someone who has smicha for atarat b'chorot, but rather it's someone who's muflag b'chochma, someone who has unusual status as a Talmud Chacham, and he can be Matir B'chorot, and he also can be Matir Nidarim. And the Tosfot ends with, Mihu b'zman hazeh, ein nireh sheyesh shum adam choshiv mumche lahatir b'chor v'neder b'yichidi l'adom dinei memonot. Says that was true in their day, that even if they didn't have simicha, you had people that were classified as mumchim. Says today, we don't have mumchim anymore. Even without smicha, even mukhlag b'chokma, we don't have people who can be matir b'chorot, we don't have people who can be matir neder alone, we don't have people who can be dan dinei memonot alone. That has gone away. You always need three now. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, Tavayu Mishved, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Amrei, they both said over the name Rabbi Shua ben Levi, V'Amrei lost, some people say Rabbi Simlai, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. It's actually Rabbi Simlai and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Tavayu Mishum, Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, Amrei. They said over the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nisia, Atarat b'chor b'chutz la'aretz, Abish losha b'nei k'neset. Hatarat b'chor in chutz la'aretz is through three people, a beitin of three. So amarava o b'mumim muvchakim. It has to be something that is a clear mum. Ma'ika mashmalan. What's he teaching us? Tanina. We have that in our Mishnah. That's exactly our Mishnah. B'chor shenismiteno, blinded in one eye. Shnikta yado, lost its foreleg. Nishbara raglo, its hind leg is broken. Arzei shachet al pigyomu b'nei k'neset. You can check that based on the basin of three. So here you have mumim, muvhakim. These are obvious mumim. And the Mishnah says you can use a beitin of three. You don't need a mumcha. Without Rova, without this statement over here, I would have thought that in Chutz La'aretz, you could even be matir a bechor a day shalosh with a mum that's not muvhak. So how come the Mishnah said muvhak? So diacha koach to Rabbi Yossi, that Rabbi Yossi says, even in the face of a muvhak, you can't use a beitin of three, you need a mumcha. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. This statement of Rava comes to teach us that our Mishnah is dafko by mumim muvhakim in Chutz La'aretz. And that's what we're speaking about here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba, Safek Mishmei Derav, Safek Mishmei Deshmuel. I don't know when Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Umar Baba, I don't know if he said in the name of Rav or he said in the name of Shmuel. Gimel matirim et bechor makom she'en mumche. If there is no mumche, then you can have a beitin of three. Ma'ika mashmalan. What's he teaching us? Tanina. It's a Mishnah. Arzei shachet al pi gimel be'knei keset. It's our Mishnah. Ima matirim av amina b'makom mumche. And from our Mishnah, it's not clear that that's only in a place where there is no mumche. Maybe it's in a place, even in a mumche, you can have three people do it. Kamash Malan. That's what the Kamash Malan is, that he qualifies our Mishnah and says that our Mishnah is only true when there is no mumche. If there is a mumche, then you can't use a beitin of three. Amrav here by Amram, Gimu matirim et ha-bechor b'makom she'en mumche. You can have a beitin of three, matir b'chor, when there is no mumche around. Gimu matirim et ha-neder, makom she'en chacham. Three people can be do atarat nedarim when there is no chacham around. Gimu matirim et ha-bechor b'makom she'en mumche la'fuke mid Rabbi Yossi. That comes to exclude, or comes to say that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah says you need a mumche all the time. So here, along comes this statement, this memra of Rav Chiya bar Amram to say, no, halacha is like the Tana Kama, that you can use a beitin of three, but that's only true when there's no mumche around. Shlosha mefirim et neder. Now, you can't have a beitin be made for neder. Hafarat nedarim is done by the father or by the husband. It's not done by a beitin. Tosvot claims that he doesn't want to change the gear so here. He thinks that it should be mefirim et neder, that they're using the lashon of the pasuk. Pasuk, it says hafarat. Even though it means hatarat nidarim over here. So either you change the girsa to matirim, or according to Tosafot, you leave the girsa, but it means matir neder. They're just using a lashon mush'al from the pasuk of mefirim et neder. So if my favorite tenet of makom she'ein chacham lafukim in Rabbi Yehuda, this comes to tell you that Allah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, farat in tarim b'gimel, a farat tarim can be done by a beit of three. Yehuda mer, echad mehem chacham. One of them has to be a chacham. So long comes Rabbi Amram and says, no, it doesn't. You can have three regular hedyotot. Give a psak halacha, you don't have to be a chacham. So now the Gemara says, b'makom she'ein chacham, what does that mean? Go man. What does it mean, a place that has no chacham? So Rav Nachman Konano, I'm the status of a chacham. So I have that chacham. If you want to know when it's not a chacham, that's the place that I'm not around. Rav Yehuda Omer, Echman Mehem Chacham. Rav Yehuda says, one of them must be a chacham. Sounds like you need one that's a chacham, the other two can be Amei Aretz. How could you have somebody who is an ignoramus be part of this Beit Din? So Amar Ravina, no, the Mistavrilei V'Savar. When Rav Yehuda says one of them is a chacham, it doesn't mean that the other two are ignoramuses. It means that the other two don't know the halacha, but if we explain it to them, they'll understand. When the chacham explains the halacha to them, they'll understand it. So it has to be people who have the ability to comprehend what the halacha is, but they don't necessarily have to be chachamim. One has to be the chacham and not the other two. Now, just to finish up the Gemara here, Yosi Omer Afil Yeshem Chav Gimel, even if there are 23, a Beit Din of 23, we still go quiet to go to Mumcha. Rabbi Chanan Omer Rav, Ein Halacha Rabbi Yosi. Chanan Omer Rav says the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosi. Pshito. What's the question here? Yachid Rabim, Halacha Rabim. The Tana Kama is a Stam Mishnah, and then you have Rabbi Yosi, is a Dat Yachid. So Madi Teima Nimoku Imo, we say that Ben Rabbi Yosi Bar Chalachta in Shas Nimoku Imo, that his tam is strong, that his positions are well thought out, and therefore the halacha should be like him. Kamash Malon, that even though it's Rabbi Yosi b'chalafta, we still say the halacha, we paskin against him. Rabbi says, okay, just from this, Tishua Miha, let's conclude from this statement of Rabbi Chanan al-Marav, what we saw before from the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah, he wasn't sure if it was in Rab's name or in Shmuel's name. So let us conclude that it must be in Shmuel's name. Tahakamaita Mishmein Shmuel Itmar. It has to be said in the name of Shmuel, Dei Mishmein Rab, Tarta Lamali. Because there's a name of Rab, what I need, Tupsis Piske Alocha. Over here, Rab says Alocha is not like Rabbi Yosi. The statement over there says, Gimel Matim Etachor, Machin Shimun B'makom Shein Mumchem, which means that Alocha is like the Tanakama. So over there we have Pesach, the Alocha is like the Tanakama. Over here we have Pesach, that Alocha is not like Rabbi Yosi. Why does Rab have to say both of those? Doesn't make sense. It must be that the other statement was by Shmuel. Rab says, not necessarily. Chada Michal de Chaverta Itmar. He made one statement, and the other one was an inference from the first statement. Maybe he made the statement that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosi. From that, we concluded that the halacha is like the Tana Kama. Not that Rab actually said it, but we inferred that from his words. So it doesn't necessarily have to be that Rab made two separate statements. He might have made one statement, and from that single statement, we were able to conclude two things. One is that the halacha is like the Tana Kama, and the other one is that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yosi. But that's not a proof that the first statement was like Shmuel. Okay, we'll stop over here.